to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Full Power Living is helping the world to know and understand the power and importance of human emotions. Whether you're listening to us over Blog Talk Radio or EmotionalPro.com, we invite you to join our chat with your questions and comments, and we'd also love it if you'd call toll-free 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. My guest today is Carolyn Hobbs, whom we welcome back this time to talk with us about forgiveness. Carolyn Hobbs is an author, a body-centered therapist, a teacher, and workshop leader. She's also the author of Joy, No Matter What, and Free Yourself, Life-Changing Powers of Your Wise Heart. Carolyn has taught at Spirit Rock Meditation Center, the Naropa Institute, and Fort Lewis College, and she's used the approach and techniques that we're talking about today for more than 30 years so that people can live the fulfilling lives they really want to live. She's a three-time guest here on Full Power Living, and she's here to talk with us about the all-important topic of forgiveness. So, Carolyn Hobbs, welcome once again to Full Power Living.
Oh, I'm so excited, Eileen, to have our discussion today on forgiveness. I've been really, really excited, and I so enjoy talking to you.
Well, now, we talked a little bit about forgiveness in our last show, but I thought it would be a good place to start today, Carolyn, talking about why forgiveness is an important topic.
Well, it's a very hard topic, I think. It's very hard for us humans to really step into forgiveness, true forgiveness. You know, there's the fake forgiveness of, oh, I forgive you. But then we hold the resentment for the next 20 years.
Yes.
And so I think true forgiveness is really a process. And it requires us to be more self-aware of whatever stories or grudges or resentments we're holding on to. And then it requires us to step out of our ego reaction into compassion. And that's really what leads to forgiveness.
Into compassion for the people involved, the situation, all of the above?
Compassion for ourselves and our humanness, and the fact that as human beings in bodies, we do struggle with fear and self-doubt and judgment and other things. And then compassion for others when we begin to realize that, oh, my goodness, they suffer from the same thing that I do.
Mm-hmm.
As a classic example, I was resentful of my mother for 40 years, the first 40 years of my life, because she had suffered from depression. And then it's like I woke up out of that stupor or story and went, oh, her depression wasn't about me. I just happened to be in the neighborhood. I just happened to be in the same house. But then I could feel really true compassion for her and what she had gone through and experienced in her life and struggled with, and then I could step easily into forgiveness.
Right. So we use the term forgiveness a lot, and like you said, sometimes it's fake and sometimes it's the real process. I've learned in my work that to forgive means to let go. And you talk about it as the power of letting go also, but you point out that Jack Canfield, I think it is, says letting Jack Kornfield, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But letting go doesn't mean to get rid of. What does it mean?
Well, yes, thanks for mentioning in Chapter 8 of Free Yourself, I do talk about forgiveness and the power of letting go, and forgiving is really coming from a place of understanding that the person who hurt us is struggles, like I said, with the same unconscious conditioning, the same habits of fear and doubt and judgment and shame and the other things that we struggle with on the inside. And so Jack Kornfield is saying that we can, for ourselves, we can let go of the unconscious act of what someone else did to us, even though it's not like we're going to lie down like a rug and allow somebody to abuse us again or rape or molest us again or violate us again. We take, you know, we stand on our own 2 feet and stand up for what we need and sometimes have to leave a toxic, unhealthy situation. But forgiving is letting go of holding it in our heart, because any grudge, any resentment that we hold in our heart keeps our heart closed and prevents us from being present. It prevents us from giving and receiving love. It prevents us from really feeling the joy, the pure joy of being alive.
Wow. That's a big price. So I thought I'd ask you about a common blockage. At least it was a blockage for me. And that is our concern that by letting something go, we're letting the other person off the hook. And I have an example similar to yours. I was angry for years with my father, who molested me sexually when I was in my early teens. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to let him off the hook. And then I learned something about who was really on the hook when I held on to that anger. Who's really on the hook when we don't forgive?
You.
Yes.
Yes. That's why the Dalai Lama says forgiveness is selfish. It's for ourselves. Because holding resentment towards somebody else is hurting us way more than it's hurting them.
Yes, and that's what I found too. And a way I had of looking at it was that if I had the experience of being molested and then carried the anger, I was actually allowing my perpetrator to get me twice.
Exactly. Good point. Yes, because you're still being hurt and you're still, again, unable to be fully present and fully alive in your life and able to give and take. You know, I deal with this as a licensed marriage and family therapist all the time with couples. You know, after the first 2 years of the honeymoon phase, the hurts start to build and the resentments start to build. I'll never forget the woman who, you know, I was having the man and woman share what their resentments were and try to practice forgiveness. And she said, "Well, I resent you for never giving me a diamond ring for our engagement." And so I said, "Oh, how many years ago was that?" She said, 20 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
So for 20 years of their marriage, she had been resentful of him and closed her heart and really unable to feel and see how much he loved her now and in the, you know, past 20 years because she was holding on to that resentment. So it really does hurt us when we hold grudges.
Right. I knew a woman, she was a grandmother, and her daughter, for whom she had taken care of the two oldest children while the youngest one was being born, her daughter had a mistaken idea that the mother was not caring for her daughters properly and held that anger inside, and the grandmother and the grandchildren got deprived of each other's company for years until they got it straightened out.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, these are the stuff of family. The family resentments and grudges that go on for years, and we think that we're protecting our heart by, you know, you hurt me, and if you really loved me, you wouldn't hurt me, and we believe that we're really protecting our heart by not leaving ourselves open for more hurt and by holding that resentment. But what we're really doing is hurting ourselves, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I have a couple right now where the woman is pretty close to leaving, even though they have two young children, and they've been together 18 years, but she's a stamp saver, and she's just beginning to realize how much she's been building up these resentments about how he wasn't there during her abortion and how he didn't treat her properly while she was pregnant with her first child. And, you know, these things happened like over a decade ago, but she's convinced herself with a story in her head that she's not safe, and that he'll never change, that she's trapped in this unhealthy relationship. And it keeps her from being able to see how loving he is, how kind he is, how patient he is now, because she's just lost in her story in her head, and that's what happens to so many of us.
Mm. Yes. Well, the other thing for me, Carolyn, is that see if this works in the way you understand things. In my understanding about self-esteem, one of the things that will break your self-esteem, that will destroy your self-esteem, is to deliberately hurt others. So if I'm unforgiving toward you, that means I'm resentful, which means that in a way I'm taking revenge of you because I'm removing myself from you, and that would automatically destroy my own self-esteem, would it not?
Well, definitely it would keep you lost in a story, you know, in a story of justifying withdrawing love, which is one of the most painful things we can do to anybody, is to withdraw affection and love, and it's also painful to ourselves to withhold our own feelings and needs, because any healthy relationship requires us to show up and to voice our needs and to voice our feelings and to speak our truth. So mm-hmm. we're definitely, hurting our self-worth and taking a downhill slide, basically.
Well, we have quotations, I think, just to bolster that a little bit, that held on to anger poisons the vessel in which it's held. So we certainly want to turn loose, and maybe self-esteem and self-image is part of the way we get poisoned. But the next mm-hmm. question, of course, is how do we protect ourselves against being hurt or violated again if we don't have the non-forgiveness or the held on to resentment to protect us?
Well, again, speaking of quotes, I just want to quote Buddha here. Buddha said, "Hatred never ceases by hatred alone, but by love alone is healed." And this is the eternal ancient law. You know, when we spaced out for a sec here. when we really begin to be aware of ourselves and aware of what it is to be a human being in a body, that's when our self-awareness begins to shift, and we begin to shift out of the ego. And the voice of ego is the one that has a personal reaction or buys into fear and judgment and plays victim, basically, victim to a situation as if we were powerless. And when we begin to shift into what I call our wise heart in the book Free Yourself, we begin to be more aware and conscious of our reactions and more aware of other people's unconscious conditioning, which allows us to actually stop taking others' unconscious acts so personally. And we can bring more compassion to seeing, oh, you know, you fell into a moment of unconsciousness or fell into some childhood wounding around rejection or abandonment. And so I can see that your acts were not as much against me as they were you falling into unconsciousness. And this is a very key step in awareness to stop taking others' unconscious acts personally.
Well, but that brings up our own unconscious acts, because I think a lot of people think of emotions as occurring kind of automatically, and we're told that research shows the human mind sort of automatically focuses on the negative or is ruled by our story, our perceptions that we create from our past experience. So how do our own automatic emotional reactions interface with forgiveness?
Well, yes, research shows that without any attention or without cultivating more awareness and compassion in our lives, then we do fall into negative habits. But also more mind research recently has shown that we can cultivate kindness and we can cultivate more positive responses to someone else's anger or someone else's judgments or opinions, and we have the capacity, the mind has the capacity to change and to go down a more positive track in our life. You know, in chapter 3 of Free Yourself, I really talk a lot about the power of responsibility and us stepping out of any victim stance and really beginning to ask ourselves, well, which part of me is reacting? Which part of me is scared right now or sad or anxious? And as the minute we ask that question, Eileen, we begin to, we can distinguish between, is my wise heart reacting with fear? And or is it my ego? Or is it my young, wounded child? And that, again, allows us to develop more compassion for what it is to be a human being. It's hard to be a human being. You know, every day, every moment, we struggle with thoughts that, fear thoughts or anxiety thoughts or past regrets or past memories, past resentments. And so, so as we have the intention in our heart to label those thinking and step back into kindness, step back into compassion, step back into how do I want to respond in this moment, then it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, I'm really relating to your to what you're saying there, having just gone through the illness and death of my husband. And when he was very, very needy, which he was because he was ill, it was really hard for me to keep the kindness, compassion uppermost. I really, really had to work at that because I would get tired and I would get irritable from being on call so much. And so I can imagine that that's true for a lot of us, that the stresses and the requirements of our everyday lives may really pull us away from the kindness and compassion you're talking about. Good to be reminded.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's a rocky road, you know. It's a fine line that we walk, and we're all stepping into unconscious ego reactions and then into compassion or into reacting with anger to someone else's you know, habits or patterns, and then coming back into remembering, oh yeah, I want to respond with kindness, or I want to meet this moment with kindness. So I have a client whose children are getting older. They're teenagers now, and the father wants to be a friend instead of a parent, and and she's pretty upset that, you know, the 13-year-old boy is acting out and he won't do anything. He just poo-poos and, oh, he'll be all right, and, you know, let's go skiing. Or And so she's really struggling, and she lost her temper the other day with a 13-year-old and felt bad and doesn't want to be, of course, like her mom was with her. And so she went back to her 13-year-old boy and said, you know, I'm sorry. I'm really working on stating my feelings directly and asking for what I need directly, and I'm sorry that I lost my temper. My intention is not to do that. And you also need to, you know, you need to pay attention to what your parents say, and there will be consequences. So she was able to what I call have a do-over and go back and apologize.
Yes.
And the 13-year-old boy said, well, I forgive you, Mom. I know you, you know, get upset at times. But these are the struggles that we have day in and day out. It's not like we're in a vacuum. We're always struggling with the inner thoughts and the inner resentments. And then there's the acts of other people that upset us or trigger us. And it's a challenge.
Yes. Yes. We're up to our first break, Carolyn. I'm talking today with author, therapist, teacher, and workshop leader, Carolyn Hobbs, about forgiveness. How do we forgive? How do we know when we really have forgiven? We'll find out more when we return, right here on Full Power Living.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. Do call in now, 888-498-0570, to share your thoughts and ask your questions. And I have a few announcements. Next week on Full Power Living, Dr. Tony Luisa Rivera, who is author of The Propelled Heart, continues our exploration of the heart by helping us uncover heart pains that have since become body pains. We're talking about how emotional pain shows up in our body and what we can do to heal both the emotions and the body. I'm sure you have a lot to say about that too, Carolyn. Join me next Thursday right here on Full Power Living at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern. Also, register at emotionalpro.com so you can receive our twice weekly newsletter. That's how we keep you up to date on the shows and topics we have for you here on Full Power Living. Over the next few months, we're going to explore the path to wealth, how we become food obsessed when we're busy and stressed, and all about indigo adults and healing feminine spirit. Your listening helps us with our mission of helping our world to understand and utilize the importance, power, and mastery of our human emotions. And remember that emotions are part of everything. My guest today is Carolyn Hobbs, and she's done a lot of teaching at Spirit Rock Meditation Center, the Naropa Institute, and the Fort Lewis College, among many others. You can find her on the web at Carolyn, carolyn-hobbs.com. That's carolyn-hobbs.com. And also at joyandfreedomnow.com. All written out, joyandfreedomnow.com. So, Carolyn, it's been a while since you were here, and I thought I'd ask you to tell me what you have been doing with yourself since your last appearance on Full Power Living in 2015, and also what's upcoming on your schedule.
Oh, well, I have actually been doing a lot of resting, Eileen.
Oh, good.
I got very sick in January and realized that I was exhausted from writing and editing and proofreading and then promoting the book over the last 5 or 6 years. And so I recognized that I needed some real downtime and inward time. So I've been meditating and reading and listening to my own heart a lot.
That really sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Right.
So
right.
No doubt you're not making a lot of plans now either. And, you know, what I was initially struck with, and I do not mean this as criticism, was how those of us who talk a lot about staying aware sometimes don't stay as aware of what's happening with us as we really need to.
Mm. Right.
You know? That's a tough thing. It's tough to stay aware, you know, as aware as we may need to stay.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and I did find that I needed to lean into what I call trusting life. I really trust that we are having the experience we need to be having, even if the ego doesn't like it or doesn't want it or rails against it or kicks and screams. And I just surrendered to really trusting that my wise heart and the wisdom of life was telling me to rest and to stop the voice that said you have to do this and that and schedule workshops and promote. And I really began to surrender into a deep silence inside, which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And really great. You know, we tend to cause a lot of our own suffering, and we like to think from the victim standpoint, we like to think, well, somebody else out there is causing it, like, you know, your husband dying or this client's husband not wanting to parent his teenagers or whatever, you know, things happen. But it's really our reactions to life, and sometimes it is our inability to listen to ourselves, so that a lot of times just by attempting to control what's out of our control or demanding that life be different than it is in this moment, we create our own suffering. And as we begin to see that more clearly and see it with a non-judgmental eye, which is compassion for ourselves, compassion for this tightrope that we humans walk between being conscious and unconscious, then as we begin to realize, I just need to accept and allow reality as it is right now, even if my ego doesn't like it. That's really what allows us to step into what I call self-forgiveness. And self-forgiveness is being able to recognize that, I'm running a story, I'm running a resentment, I'm carrying a grudge, I'm not being present. And actually each night when I go to bed, right before I go to sleep, I ask myself an important question. What lies between me and being totally at peace with myself right now? And just asking that question, what lies between me and total peace, allows us to see the stories or the judgments or the attempt to control the uncontrollable that we're running.
Wow, that's really good. How you do that, I don't know. My very next question was about self-forgiveness. I should say, but for many years, I want to go a little further with this. I held myself responsible for something I did in my way distant past, and I believed it was unforgivable. And I knew that this was in there inside of me, but I deliberately didn't think about it much, and I didn't talk about it with other people. But it came through in my dreams, and I had a dread about people finding out who I really was because of what I had done, what I believed I had done. And it was awful. And it did seem that the most difficult person in the world to forgive was my own self. And I ran into that one night when I was explaining to my husband how painful, I finally started to talk to him about it, how painful it was that I had this thing that I'd for years been unable to get forgiveness for. And I said to him, I don't know why God doesn't forgive me. And then I ran in my own brain, I had learned that God is ever equal to our understanding, and the God of my understanding is an extremely forgiving God. And it hit me right then that it wasn't God that wasn't forgiving me, it was me. And in doing so, I was making myself greater than God, because I was saying this is unforgivable, even though God, in my understanding, was saying it is forgivable.
Yes, yes. What a beautiful story. And as you know, Eileen, as a fellow therapist, you know, we are hardest on ourselves often. And I talk about in Chapter 8 of Free Yourself, my book, I talk about that forgiving the unforgivable is really a four-phase process. And the first phase is to really face, you know, honestly, whatever judgments or fears or betrayals that we're holding against ourselves. And then the second step is to recognize how that fear or that judgment is feeding a certain belief about ourselves, such as I'm not good enough, or nobody understands me, or I can't trust anybody, those kinds of beliefs that can get started in childhood and then go underground into our unconscious and not even know they're there. And then the third step is to really honestly acknowledge the truth to ourselves. Like for you, it might be, yes, that was an unskillful act. That was an unconscious act on my part. And I forgive myself in putting our hand over our heart and just say, I forgive myself, and to repeat that 5 or 6 or 10 times until we really feel a shift inside. I forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows our heart to open again.
Right.
And allows the shame to fall away and allows us to feel like we deserve to be seen and deserve the self-worth and deserve love in life again.
Yeah. Of course, that was my next thing I was going to talk with you about. You're batting 1,000 so far. What I did when I realized that I was the one who wasn't forgiving myself is I really began to cry. Probably cried for about an hour or more, and my husband just held me. And once I acknowledged that I was ready to forgive myself and forgave myself, I have not been plagued with that again. It was gone. And that's my experience, and I think you talk about this in your book too, that immediately when you forgive yourself, the issue is done.
It is done, but you brought up an important point, is that you have to feel the feelings that come up as you address and face the issue full on, and as you touch into the feelings, often grief does come up. When I work with clients, I speak about this deep grief that comes when we awaken to, you know, to the truth of a situation, or when we realize that whatever we were judged for as a kid or felt not good enough for the last 40 years for is not the truth. Well, as soon as we realize the truth, there is a grief that comes up of all those years that we held it against ourselves.
Right. And part of that grieving, I think, is, at least as I've observed it as a therapist, is that once you forgive yourself, you can look back very soon and realize that it was a simple thing, that for all those years you were suffering when what you really wanted, the forgiveness, was accessible to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that ties in there too. You know, when I wrote my book on remorse and shame, that was to help parents teach their children how to work with emotions. In my research, I came to the understanding that remorse comes up in us as part of our learning process. We feel not good about what we did, and the first thing you have to do before you can move on is to forgive yourself. And it's part of the process of growth, because once I forgive myself, then I can move on to make amends or make another choice or whatever. Is that the way it works in your understanding also?
Yes, I believe that the self-forgiveness is the first step, because once we have that body and heart experience of really, really forgiving ourselves and reaching that moment of forgiveness, then it does automatically allow us, you know, with that compassionate heart, it allows us to then forgive others and recognize, oh, they were really, really lost in an unconscious moment, or they were lost in a childhood wound when they said those mean words to me or acted inappropriately. And I think that's really the shift that allows forgiveness, is the awareness that we're human beings who move in and out of conscious and unconscious awareness. And with that awareness and with the forgiveness, we're able to then forgive the humanness of others, really.
And all of this also leads us to the concept that we actually have choice about how we react in any situation, including choice over our emotions. And that means we always have a choice to forgive as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Freedom comes from moment-to-moment choices. And as soon as we recognize a reaction inside as an ego reaction, or as soon as we recognize a thought as, oh, that's just a thought, then we're free to choose compassion and choose forgiveness. For example, I have a client whose husband just lost his sister. She passed away from cancer, and it was a very fast-growing cancer. He was surprised. And he wanted to quit his job and immediately, before she died, immediately go be by her side and help her. And they were a month away from retiring. So if he quit his job, he was going to lose his retirement. And, of course, he was upset about that because he was about to retire in a month as well. And she had a huge reaction. But as she began to realize, with help from our session, she began to realize, oh, she was having a personal reaction to his feelings and to his inability to really think rationally in that moment. So that helped her step into compassion for his desire to go be by his sister, but also also forgiving him for wanting to blow their entire retirement plan and helping him move through that to a more reasonable decision.
Wow. Wow. How do we recognize when we haven't forgiven?
Oh, our heart is closed. You know, we're unable to receive love. We're unable to see clearly. We're often running a story in our head. You know, it'll never change. I feel trapped. I'm not safe to be open. I'm not safe to share feelings. I'm not safe to ask for what I need. Those are all the signs that we're carrying a resentment.
Okay, good. Good. I wanted to really clarify that. All right, we're at our next break. I'm talking with Carolyn Hobbs about the power of forgiveness in our everyday world. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we will be right back.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us. 4 things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. Our guest today is Carolyn Hobbs, author of Free Yourself, 10 Life-Changing Powers of Your Wise Heart. And we're talking with Carolyn about forgiveness. So, Carolyn, I know you touched on this before, but what's the relationship of our ego, fear, and forgiveness? How are they connected in our lives, or how do we connect them?
Well, that's a good question, Eileen. You know, I talk a lot about the voice of ego versus the voice of the wise heart in my book, Free Yourself. And fear is really the voice of ego. Fear is I have to protect myself. I'm not safe. Fear is if I say that, you know, we'll get into a conflict. Fear often silences our truth and our voice, and that's ego, which is only concerned with am I safe or unsafe, and in this world, in this unpredictable world of being a human being in a body, ego always sees us as unsafe. If the ego had its way, it would have us all hiding in the basement in a corner for our whole lives and still tell us that we weren't safe. So our job really is to notice, oh, that's the voice of ego. That's the small part of me. That's the less mature part of me. And my work really in this lifetime is to stop listening, stop believing the voice of ego, and to really drop down into this deeper, more mature, wise part of ourselves, which I call our wise heart in the book, Free Yourself.
Well, that's interesting. You say it would leave us hiding in a corner in the basement our whole lives and still not be safe, because it seems, now I'm gonna venture into an area here, it seems that we have a division in here in the U.S. right now during this election year between people who are wanting to hide in a corner in the basement and and those who are wanting to perhaps move forward or be more trusting. You know, we have whole people. It's not just one person. We do have one person saying this, but we have a lot of people who are thinking that Muslims and immigrants are a source of our problems, so we have to monitor them or block them out, that lesbians and gays are undermining the fabric of our lives, so they need to be policed, and just yesterday that women who obtain an abortion deserve punishment. And you know, what would forgiveness, I mean, this is putting us in a position where everybody needs to forgive and have compassion for one another, does it not?
Absolutely. And I'm not going to go into my personal reaction.
Okay.
But I'm going to respond more with the voice of compassion is that, again, first we can trust that even now in America, we are having the experience that we need to be having, whether ego likes it, wants it, or not.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, to step out of the ego personal reactivity into compassion is to have compassion for all the people who are still lost in the ego victim identity. That you know that the enemy is out there, and that we have to hold the immigrants out of the boundaries, and then somehow we'll be safe and we can live happily ever after, so to speak, and have compassion for their suffering, their unconscious conditioning, their inability to identify thoughts as thoughts and fears as fears, and just simply be lost in them.
That's a really lovely way to look at it, because I think a lot of people do have their ego stirred up, and also there are a lot of people trying to stir egos up. Not just one person, but a lot of people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. You say that to truly forgive and fully forgive, it takes commitment, practice, and time, that forgiveness doesn't occur overnight, and we need to allow our heart time to be ready to make the leap to forgiveness. Will you talk about that for a moment, please?
Absolutely. Again, we need to distinguish between fake forgiveness, which is, yeah, I forgive you, but then I keep holding the resentment or the grudge, and true forgiveness, where you spoke earlier about truly forgiving yourself and truly grieving over the years that you had held this act against yourself, and then how it never came up again. And,
uh-huh.
And that's the sign of true forgiveness, is that the resentment, the grudge, never comes up again. Or if it happens to enter my mind, I just label it thinking and let it go. There's no charge behind it. You know, I wanted to just include a quote here in terms of forgiving others from Eckhart Tolle that really helped me cross this line into compassion and forgiveness. And Eckhart Tolle said, if his or her past were your past, if his or her pain were your pain, and if his or her level of consciousness were your level of consciousness, you would think and act exactly as they do. With that realization comes compassion and forgiveness, and it really does. When, you know, because when we step into another's shoes, and we can never fully do that, but if we realize, wow, I would be acting the same way as Donald Trump right now if I had his past, his level of consciousness, his level of pain, it really calls up compassion from our heart, and it allows us to see from a larger perspective.
On a spiritual level, now this is a real aside, but on a spiritual level, if a whole bunch of us worked on compassion for Donald Trump, do you think anything would alter?
I believe it would. I believe on an energetic level that we have tremendous power. We're actually creating and co-creating our universe every day, you know, with spirit. And so if we shifted out of judgment, and compassion is the antidote for judgment, if we shift out of judgment into compassion for a being who's obviously suffering, to say some of the things that he says, then I believe there would be a shift.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, so finally, I found this statement in your book, Free Yourself. On waking up, the truth that we have been and will be betrayed, rejected, and hurt by other people acting out their unconscious conditioning is somehow easier to swallow. And the fact that we will continue to disappoint, frighten, and scare others with our unconscious acts grows easier to admit. It opens the door to freedom. Like fruit, we ripen toward the light of true forgiveness. And the way I took this statement, Carolyn, is that you're saying here that occasions for forgiveness continue to occur in life, that others offer them to us and we also provide them to them. So as we move through such kind situations over and over, and each time we meet them with forgiveness, that's when we can grow and progress and open our hearts. Is that what you're saying, part of it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it takes a lot of courage to reach forgiveness. And we live under the false myth, ego's myth, that, like I said earlier, if you really loved me, you wouldn't hurt me, you wouldn't disappoint me, you wouldn't betray me. And as human beings who struggle and move in and out of conscious and unconscious habits, we can't guarantee, none of us can guarantee that we'll never hurt somebody or disappoint, as much as we may love them. And so as we each grow in awareness inside ourselves, and we come to realize, oh, this is the human condition, is that sometimes I will be hurt, I will be disappointed, I will feel betrayed, I will feel and truthfully, I will feel violated. And as we begin to realize that everyone is in this soup of unconscious conditioning, then it's easier to accept that even that person, even your father who molested you, or even my mother who suffered from depression her whole life, even the parent, you know, the husband who wants to be friends and not parent his teenage son, that all of us, including them and us, live in this unconscious conditioning, and we struggle. Which some of us are committed to waking up, others don't even know that they're in unconscious conditioning and they're lost in the ego. So as we recognize that hurt and disappointment and fear and judgment, et cetera, are part of human life, then we can step into compassion and forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful place to end. Thank you, Carolyn. Let me remind you that you can find Carolyn Hobbs on the web at carolyn-hobbs.com and at joyandfreedomnow.com. And her book is Free Yourself, 10 Life-Changing Powers of Your Wise Heart. And it's just chock full of the kind of wisdom you've been listening to here today. Carolyn, thank you. for helping us all to understand forgiveness better and its power and importance in our lives. And I know all of us who've heard you talk on this important topic are going to be embracing more forgiveness in our everyday lives. So I'm really grateful. I'm grateful to you for being here. Thank you.
Thank you. I always love talking to you. I'd like to leave the listeners with just one question, because I find questions so great for waking up. And the question is, have I suffered enough? Have I suffered enough to step into compassion, to drop my control, drop my reaction? Have I suffered enough to forgive?
Okay, then. That's my week. All right. So thank you again, Carolyn.
Thank you, Eileen.
Next week, Dr. Tony Luisa Rivera, who's author of The Propelled Heart, will continue our exploration of the heart and the way that our emotional pains can turn into physical pains and what we can do about it. So join me at our regular time next Thursday, 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific time or noon Eastern time. Paul Johnston. Thank you, Paul. He's with Fresh Talk Media, and he's our producer and has been for many years. So thank you for your loyal and humorous and fun service. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.